Today's daf is Samach Tet. We're going to start at the bottom of Samach Chen and Bet by the two dots, about seven lines from the bottom. But before we do that, we're going to go back to the Mishnah from yesterday on Samach Chen and Aleph to review the concepts that this is based upon, since it was quite complicated and it was a Shabbat daf, so we'll go over that. So we'll start with Rufuot Shlomo for the week. David Avram ben Miriam, Tvar bat Dina, Orli Penina bat Racha Frida, Yael Miriam bat Chaya, Yaakov ben Rosa, David ben Golda, Daphne Chaya bat Sari, Elana Mir bat Dina, Reza bat Pesha, Rivka Vital bat Leah Tvar, Chana Leah bat Fredo, Chaya Naomi Tvar bat Shulamit, Yilanit bat Carmela, Viloi Nishmat, Chana bat Avram bat Hatara, Tzvi Hirsch ben Yaakov Alevi Umele, Yosef ben Tzvi Akoin, Ozavram Shom ben Eliezer, Yitzchak Alevi Vachana. Okay, what we're dealing with now, we're getting into iska, which leads to, we'll eventually get to heter iska, which is basically the heter that allows people to like banks, for example, to lend on interest and other kind of heterim for interest taking. What an iska is an investment. So somebody gives money, he invests money with someone for that person to do the work, to basically take care of the investment. The issue is that the question is when somebody gives somebody something, so we either view it as a loan or as a pikadon, like he's watching the item for him. So the question becomes, how do we determine whether something's a loan or whether it's a pikadon? It's going to depend on who is responsible. Because if you're a shomer, so then what do we say? The achrayut is on the investor, right? So let's say someone gives you money to invest, or they give you an item to invest, and they say, I assume all responsibility for any loss. If they assume all responsibility, then what happens? Then the item is a pikadon, basically, right? In other words, if there's a loss and the whole thing is lost, well then, that means that the shomer is not responsible for onsim. So therefore, the investor's responsible. It's a pikadon. Now, if it's a pikadon, then it works fine, because then he says, you take my item, you work it. As your reward, I'll give you half the profits. And then when you give me back my pikadon, give it back to me with the other half of the profits, and that would be fine. But what investor is going to say, I assume responsibility for all losses? Nobody would do that. If you do the flip, which is the person he's investing with takes upon himself all the losses, then it's going to be viewed as a loan, basically. The guy gives him his item. He gets back his item, right? And when he gets back profits, it's going to be viewed as interest. And that's going to be a problem if it's 100% a loan. And the other problem with doing it that way is, what person is going to take someone else's money and say, I assume all responsibility for any losses? If you give me 100 and I lose all 100, I'm going to give you all your 100 back, right? That's basically a loan. That's what a loan is. A loan is, you're giving me money, I'm going to invest in it, but I'm going to keep all the profits, right? In other words, no one would say, I'll assume all the losses and you can share the profits with me. So how do we view this kind of agreement? We're going to say it's half pikadon and half a loan. Because, meaning, right, each one is going to assume half the responsibility for the losses. You follow? So, the half that's a pikadon, the achrayut, is on the investor, and the half that's a milved, the achrayut, is on the person who took the, who said, you know, who he invested the money with. Once we do that, here comes our problem. The half that's a pikadon, right, you can say that all the profits that go back to the original investor can be on the half that's the pikadon. Like, let's say they invest 100, okay? So the investor gives the guy 100. Then the item devaluates, right? It goes down the investment to 80. So what will happen? The guy with the pikadon, right, will get back 40, and the guy with the milva will get back 40, right? They'll split the difference. So with the pikadon, he didn't get back. We view half as a pikadon, right? The pikadon part was lost, the 50. There was the half of the pikadon he lost because he took responsibility for. The half that was the malveh's responsibility, he took the loss for, right? So then he gets back, right? The half that was the malveh's was 50, right? So he takes a loss for 50, and he pays him 40, and the guy who's taken the loss on the half that was the pikadon, he has to pay him back 10. So basically, that's how it works. But if it goes up to 120, so what happens? So that you say the half that was the pikadon was 50, and now he gets an extra 10 on that half, right? There's, and then he gets up to his 60 of exactly what he should be getting. So this should work, because then there's no rebate, because the profits that he got were on the pikadon half. And the malveh gets back his original 50, plus another 10, right? So he gets 60 also. What's the problem here? What we're not looking at is that the half that was the malveh, the half that was the pikadon, it's fine, he gets his proceeds on it. But what's happened here, what's missing in this picture, is that the guy we invested with did work for him for free. So the investor not only got back 60, but he got a service with it. And that service, on the malveh part, is going to be viewed as rebate. And that's where the issue is going to be. And therefore, the Mishnah says, Ein moshivim chem bani l'machatzit zachar, v'lo yitem ma'ot likach ben peirot l'machatzit zachar. You cancel the profits 50-50, Ela im kein noten lo scharo kepoel. He has to, because he's doing work for him, the guy we invested with, so that guy can't provide a free service because half of it is viewed as a malveh, which means that the original guy is getting a free service because somebody turned his thing from 50 to 60. So from that free service, that's going to be viewed as rebate. And therefore, what are we going to say? That he has to pay him a salary, some sort of a salary. It could be a very minimum salary, and there's machloket about how minimum it can be. And that's what the whole machloket was on, I'm a bet. How minimum is the salary you have to pay him? But that salary resolves that issue of the free service. Okay? That's going to be the basis of everything. Shira, do you mind making the heat a little lower? It's too blowy, too loud. Okay. So now, we're going to start from Amar Rav Nachman. So, what we didn't see inside exactly is that Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha ke Rav Yehuda, okay, there's a machloket. So Rav Nachman says the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Now Rav Yehuda had said there was a whole debate earlier on the daf about what does it mean scharo? You give him scharo. So does it mean that you can give him any little bit amount of something, or do you have to actually pay him fully for, you know, a real salary? Again, even a real salary is still a minimum salary, but it's somewhat of a salary. So Rav Nachman says, Halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin, we're going to see later that this doesn't really mean what we think it means. But right now, we're going to read it according to Pshuto. We hold like Rabbi Yehuda that he can even give him, okay, Rabbi Yehuda said, even if lo tavali mo'ela v'tzir v'lo achali mo'ela grogeret achad, if you give him a little teeny bit of food, that's enough to be considered a sachar, that, you know, maskaret that you gave him. Halacha ki Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda, who also, in a different case, he said that if you have an animal, I have to remember his shita, he said that...
Way or wool.
If you give someone sheep to watch, so then you can say that the shearings that you got from there, and then we said even if it's the scraps of the shearings, okay, or the yucky part of the milk, whatever's left, that's enough as of a reward. And notice, by the way, the Gemara already mentioned it earlier, that Rabbi Yossi be Rabbi Yehuda, he's Rabbi Yehuda's son, so it makes sense he's going l'shitato. V'halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who was also Mekel, who said that if you have an egel with its mother, usually an egel has its own things that you have to carry them on their shoulders, and because of that you have to pay extra. But if it's an egel with its mother, you don't need to pay extra for the egel. We assume you're already getting sachar for the mother, and the egel will just go along with the mother. First of all, you might not need to carry it because it'll run after its mother, so maybe there's less reward there. Or just because you're getting something already, a salary for the mother, you therefore don't need to add anything more. All these three are very similar because all of them have a minimal amount. Now, maybe the minimal amount's a little bit different, but it's showing something very minimal. So he says right now, we think the Rav Nachman's saying halacha like those people. Okay. B'nei Rav Elish, nafik alayu ahushtar. Now we have a case where Rav Elish, the sons of Rav Elish, somebody took out a shtar against them and said, hey, you owe us. Okay? To have a kachiv bey, what was in the shtar? That his father had, that someone had invested with the father, and Rav Elish, and it said, palga ba'agar, palga ba'hefzed. Right? It said in the shtar, we agreed to 50-50, right? We split 50-50 profits, we split 50-50 loss. Okay, if there's a loss, we split a 50-50, but it didn't have there any stipulated amount of a salary that he was supposed to get paid. So they brought it in front of Rava. Amar Rava, you know, and they tried, right? The sons wanted to say, hey, look, this is an invalid document because it's going to be rebeat, and you know, we don't have to pay anything. Because if we pay, it'll be rebeat. So Amar Rava, Rav Elish Gavar Rabahu, V'isuri le'inshe lo havisafe. What does he say? It can't possibly be that Rav Elish was a big guy. There's no way he would have come up with the shtar that had explicit interest in it. Can't possibly be. And he wouldn't have caused other people to be, you know, do something wrong, which means the person who, the investor, would also, remember, rebate goes both directions, both the person who charged and the person who pays. So therefore, he says it must be like this, manafshach. I palga ba'algar trei tilte behefzed. Vi palga behefzed trei tilte ba'algar. What does this mean? If the condition was to split the profits 50-50, then the investor must have agreed to assume upon himself two-thirds of the loss. Meaning, in other words, that he's saying, I'll take a greater part in the loss, and that will be my payment for the fact that we're splitting the things 50-50. As long as the investor pays a little bit more, right, then it's okay. Because then we say that the whatever he was willing to take on himself a little bit more, that's the reward, that's the, you know, the payment, the salary that he was giving to the guy who he invested with. So either we look at it like this. They assume the shtar either implied this or it implied that. So either it implied we're going to split the profits 50-50. However, the losses, it's going to be two-thirds, one-third, and meaning the investor's taking upon himself more responsibility, so that's his payment. Because he's saying in the event of a loss, I'll assume more responsibility. Or if they said we'll split the loss 50-50, then it must be that Rav Elish gets two-thirds of the profits, okay? So he said either which way, there must have been some implicit agreement that there was something that Rav Elish was getting more of. Okay, and therefore he ruled that it wasn't a problem. Amar Rav Kahana, Amarita l'shmata kamedu Rav Zvid min Nehardea. So he says, I told this to Rav Zvid in Nehardea. V'amrali dilma Rav Elish tovei mo b'tzir hava. Maybe if that wasn't the case, and really they were supposed to split everything 50-50, but Rav Elish ate something in the guy's house one time, right? And he got a little bit. And we know that Rav Nachman Haskins like Rabbi Yehuda, who said that you, as long as you eat a little bit, so maybe that's why it wasn't in the shtar, because he just did a little bit, in which case we can do this exactly 50-50. So Amar Lei, Lav Hilchata Itmar, you totally misunderstood Rav Nachman. He didn't mean this was la halacha, these things, right? When he said halacha Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, he didn't mean we paskin that way, even though it clearly sounded that way. Ela Shita Itmar. He was trying to tell us, and we've seen this before, you remember, we've seen it as these people all said davar chad, you remember? And we collect different shitot. We say, oh, these five people all line up. They all seem to be implying this shita. And that's what he's saying. He's saying these people were all within the same school of thought. Exactly. But he wasn't saying that we paskin that way. And how can he prove this even further? If you're not so convinced yet, what does he say? Itmar, Hakinami Mistavra, and you can also further prove this. Dilo Tema Haki, Lama Leila Mikshav Lememar, Halacha, Halacha. Lema, why would he then list? The halacha is like him, the halacha is like him, the halacha is like him. Lema, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, Demeka Mikulu. If Rabbi Yehuda has the most Mekel Shita out of all three, and that's even though they're all within the same school of thought, he's more Mekel than anyone else, just to eat a little piece of, right, dip your bread into the dip, that's enough. So basically, if he wanted to say this is the halacha, he would have just passed in blanket like Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't need to say the halacha zakim, the halacha zakim, the halacha zakim. Okay? Rabbeinu Hanan al-Dafka says here very interestingly, he says any time that the Gemara does this, where it collects and says, oh, this guy, this guy, this guy, they all said the same thing, we never pass in that way. Okay? Because why? Because what's the Gemara doing? It's trying to show that these dat yachids, there's a few different dat yachids that correspond with each other. But they're all dat yachids and we don't hold like them. Okay? So that's just an interesting point. I don't think everyone agrees with him, but he does say it here. Amarav. Mutar shlish b'sarcha. Motar shlish b'sarcha hareza mutar. I confused the two motars. Motar and mutar. Motar is the extra, okay, more than. And mutar is mutar, okay? So let's read it again. Motar shlish b'sarcha hareza mutar. What does this mean? If we say that you give him an egel, okay, a calf, and you say, I want you to fatten up this calf. So you're investing, right? The investor gives someone a calf. He says, up to a third, right? Motar shlish, right? Up to a third, you get to keep. No, up to a third, we're going to split 50-50. So I'm giving you my egel, lepaten, to fatten it up. You're going to fatten it up. Up to a third, if it goes up a third in value, so let's say it was 100 and it goes up 33, we're going to split that 33. After that, the motar, the extra, past the shlish, you can keep. Okay? That's going to be your sahar. That's mutar. You can do this. Okay? Because you're basically saying, we're going to split the profits 50-50. Now, what's going to happen? If it only goes up to 133, then they're going to split it 50-50 and we're going to have this problem that we've always discussed, right? Which is that the guy who fattens it up is working for the guy for free, meaning the investor's getting reward, which is his rebate. However, in this case, what does Rav say? Since if it were to go up past 33, then already that's going to be the reward, right? That's going to be the guy's maskoret, his salary. So since even just it being a potential that he'll get that salary, it's okay. That works. Okay, so even though he may not ever get that salary, since he knows that if he were to fatten it up past a certain amount, he's going to get full amount, that will be his salary. That's enough for it to not be considered rebate. Shmuel is going to disagree. Shmuel amar, lo matza motar shlish, yelech lebeito reikan. But if he doesn't fatten it up more than a third, he's going to go empty-handed, which means then it'll be rebate. El amar Shmuel, kotzeitz lo dinar. Shmuel says you have to pay him a dinar. You have to pay him a certain amount of salary. Otherwise, this doesn't work. So now we're going to question Rav. V'sapa Rav, ain ko tzitzin lo dinar. V'ha amar Rav. In other words, maybe Rav did say this, but we know a different statement of Rav that seems to contradict this. Reish igla lepituma. Rav says that if you give someone money to fatten up, then you have to give him the head of the egel. In other words, that's going to be his maskoret. So if you give someone an egel to fatten up, the guy who does the work gets the head of the egel. So my love, is this not a case? Da'amar le motar shlish b'sarcha, and he still needs to give him the resh egel, meaning that it's not going to be enough. So they say, no, lo. Dika'amar le e motar shlish, e resh egel lepituma. In other words, in one case, Rav said he gets the head of the egel. That was a case where he didn't get the motar shlish. But if he gets the motar shlish, then he doesn't need to get the resh egla lepituma. So basically, either he gets above a third all the profits, and that's good enough for Rav, even though it's only a potential. The fact that it's a potential, it's still enough to say, I'm getting reward for this, because I know that if I do invest, you know, as much and get it to fatten up even more, I will get a salary. Or he gives him the head of an egla. Ibai Dema, second option to explain this problem with Rav. Hika amarav motar shlish b'scharcha. Motar kigon de'itle behema lidide. Da'amre inchi gaba l'tora gaba l'tore. Sorry, da'amre inchi, I didn't read that right. Da'amre inchi, the people say gaba l'tora gaba l'tore. Okay, Torah is one and Torah is many. So now we're going to say that when he gets the motar shlish, it's a case when he has his own animal. Because if he already has his own ox, and now he's going to fatten up another ox, this people say, Gavi Latore, if you mix the food and do all the work for the food for one ox, it's not much more effort to do it for two oxen. So this is like when you cook at home, right? To cook for one person is a lot of work, but once you're cooking for two people, once you're cooking for one, you add a little bit more, it's not really much more effort. So therefore, what do they say? They say in that case, you don't, motar shlish is enough of a maskoret. Right? Normally you get a resh egel, but a resh egel is when you're only feeding this one ox, and therefore it's work for you and you need to get a maskoret for it. But if You already have your own animal, and you're just adding a little extra food to fatten up this other one. You're not doing much work for this animal, in which case it's enough the motar shlish. But in a regular case, motar shlish wouldn't be sufficient. That's the second answer. Okay. Rabbi Lezer may have grown a zaven behema, v'yavle la'arise, v'la'arise. Okay, he bought an animal, and he gave it to someone to take care of for him, to be mefatim. Mefatim le, he fanned it up, v'yavle reshe ba'agra, and he gave him the head as his maskoret. V'yayv palga ravcha, and he gave him half the proceeds. Amrele debitu, so now the wife of the aris says to him, okay, the guy who did the work, right? I mishtatefet b'hadei, yayv lachnami alita. If, what happened in the first case? The first case was the guy bought it, the investor bought it all with his money. The aris worked the animal, right? He fattened him up. And what did he get as a reward? He got the head of the eagle. So what does she say to him? She says, look, why don't you be smart? If bishtatefet behadei, if you pay for another animal together with him, instead of him paying the whole 100 for the animal, you share the cost of the animal, and then you fatten it up, right? Then yai leinami alita. Then you won't only get the resh of the head of the eagle, what will you also get? You'll also get the tail. Okay, in other words, it'll obviously be better for you if you're going to invest with the guy, right? If you put in money also. Now, if you can think about this, it's not really going to be good, because then what happens? Okay, let's put it this way. Why does he get the head of the egel? Because otherwise it's going to be rebeat. Because the investor gave him all the money. It's like a halva'a. Once he spends 50-50, it's no longer a halva'a. It's shutafut. It's a partnership. In which case, he gets the head of the eagle, right? He doesn't get the tail. He doesn't even get the head of the eagle. The head of the eagle was only a solution to avoid a halva'a problem. In this case, it's not halva'a at all. It's a clear-cut 50-50 partnership. Happens the Aris is working it, but we'll see about that. So now, Azal Zavin Bahadeh, this is maybe a good explanation of, you know, since women didn't learn Gemara, they didn't know the halacha, she thought this was a good solution, but she didn't understand. Azal Zavin Bahadeh, so he went and bought an animal together with him, Paligle Me'ilita. So he split it then, he split, right, they split the tail. So Amarle Taniflege L'Resha. And he says to him, you know, let's also split the head. So Amarle, so now the Aris says, what do you mean? Hashakame kara namilo, right? In other words, even in the beginning, you didn't even make me split the head. What is this? You're not only not giving me the head, you're also not giving, you know, you're not only not giving me the tail, you're also not giving me the head. Amarle, ata idna zuze didi havu. Ilo hava yehivna le tfe porta mechze kiribit. Right? In the beginning, the money was all mine. If I didn't give you more, it would have looked like rebeat, because you're giving me back my money and you're giving me back more. Hashta shutfe anan. Right? So now we're shutafim. So now, my ka'amart, what are you going to try to claim on me? That you're going to try to claim I owe you more? Because tarachna tfe porta, because you worked harder on this animal, so you're deserving of more. Amre inshe, but people say, stam arisa lemare arachamashabe lenafshe. But the saying on the street is that people say a regular aris is basically subjugated to his master. Right? You're basically an aris for me, you work for me. Why? Because you want me to give you more stuff because you'll get more profits out of it. In other words, what's the point? The point is you don't have a lot of money like I do. So you know that your income is going to come from me giving you stuff. That's your reward. Your reward is that you're basically subjugated to me, and therefore you weren't expecting any more because... Or I don't have to give you anymore, because what am I giving you? I'm giving you the fact that we have a good relationship, and I'll just give you more things, in which case you'll make profits off of me, off of my stuff. But I don't have to actually pay you for this. We're just partners. And there's no rebate issues, so therefore you don't get anything. Okay, new case. Tana Rabbanan. Hasham behema l'chavero. Ab matai chayav l'tapel ba. If someone evaluates, if someone gives an animal to his friend to watch, to basically lifatem. Okay, so until what time is he responsible? Litapelba. Now, at what point does he have to say, time to split the profits, right? At this point, it's fattened up enough and we have to split the profits. Sumchus omer ba'atonot, when it comes to donkeys, 18 months. Bigodrot, which are kvasim or izim, okay, sheep or goats. Kavdalet chodesh, 24 months. Im ba lachloch betoch zmano, chaveron ma'akev alav. If he tries to split it before this time, then he can stop him. Okay, I don't remember right now, just 1 minute. Who's best interested in that? If, right, the Baal HaBehema can stop him and say, we're not yet splitting the profits, and you haven't fattened it up enough. Because that's the point. The question is, how much responsibility does he have to fatten up this animal? You know, how long does he have to go in order to fatten it up and say, okay, my work is done for you. I've worked for you enough, now I'm stopping. So if he tries to return it before that time, the guy says, no, that wasn't the condition. The condition was until a later date. Aval eino dome tipula shel shana zo l'tipula shel shana acheret. Okay, so now this is a bit of an unclear statement. Okay, which is shana zo and which is shana acheret? Okay, now this 1 year is harder than the other. Okay, when we talk about this 24 months, it's talking about 2 years, and 1 year is going to be harder than the next. Ela lafish, so my kamar, they're going to say, what does this mean? Ela lafish eino dome tipula shel shana zo l'tipula shel shana acheret. They don't explain this so much, right? It's saying that, right, it's just repeating. So Rashi says, right, so the first way, okay, if we look in Rashi, the first way he explained, some people explain it the reverse, okay, but we're going to go with Rashi. Rashi says the first way they understood this was shetzricha v'shnia lemizonot merubin yoter mirishona. In other words, that's what it's saying. It's saying the first way we read it is eino dome tipula shel shana rishona l'tipula shel shana acheret. That's Rashi's nosach. You see, the tipula of the shana rishona is not like the next year. Meaning, as the animal grows, it's going to need more food. You're going to have to deal with it more. Okay, so now they're saying, what's the point? The Gemara asks, what does it mean, my aval de kamar? In other words, obviously. That's why you can't stop after a year, because the second year you have to work even harder. So then they say, this is really what it means. L'fisheinu domeh, kevan dekach minhaga mekablim chavero ma'akev alav. It's trying to tell you that's the reason why. And then, now I remember the question. They're saying, why does it say aval? That's what doesn't make any sense. It says, aval eino dome tipula shel shana zo, which doesn't make any sense. Aval means, but it's different. They're saying, adrava, that means, right? So that's what they're saying in the end. Ela lafi she'eino dome, that's the difference. They're saying, it's because it's not dome, that's why you can't say, oh, I'm done after a year. Because the second year is even harder, and obviously the guy gave you money to deal with it for even the second year. So it's saying, they change the word, it doesn't mean aval, it means because. Okay, aval usually means, right, against. Okay. Tanya Idach, another brighter. Hasham behema lechavero, amatai chayav letapel bevladot. If someone, right, gives you money, an animal to work on, what if it has children, offspring? So now, to what point do you have to be metapel the offspring and still split the profits? But bidakalam yomu begasad gimel nun yom, 50 days. Okay, so if it's a small animal, 30 days. If it's a bigger animal, 50 days. Rabbi Yossi omer bidakash lo shacho dashim. Dafka daka is more longer time. Why? Mipnesha tipula meruba. Because it's more effort to deal with a small animal. My tipula meruba, why is that? Mipnesha shineha dakot. Because its teeth are smaller, they can't chew up the food as well, and you have to deal with their food more. Mikam ba'elach, what do you do after that time period? Notel mechta shelo, v'chatzi mechta b'shel chavero. At that point, since the vladot were born while he was dealing with it, he gets 75% of the profits. Okay? In other words, until that point, they split 50-50. After that point, he gets his half, and then he gets half of the part of his friends. Rabbi Nasha bar Gada, shakel mechze shelo v'chatzi mechze v'shel chavero. Okay, so he took half of his and half of the profits of the other guy when it came to this kind of case. Ata l'kameh d'abaye. So they brought this before Abaye. Amar leh, man paliglach. Who told you to split like this? Va'od makom shenagu legadel hu. This is a makom where nahagu legadel. Utnan makom shenagu legadel yagdilu. This is a place where people were nohag to dafka take care of the offspring also. And if you live in a place where that's what you, where that's, you know, and it says And if you're in a makom shenahagu legadel, yagdilu. And therefore, you're supposed to split the profits 50-50. So he basically disagrees with his, right? And then basically you can't take any portion of your friends. You're still responsible. It means if someone gave you their animals and their animals had oxygen, you're responsible to watch them until they're bigger, meaning not 3 months or not 50 days or 30 days, but until they actually grow. Okay, in which case you can't take his part of the profit. So they disagree with the salah. Hanu tre kutai. There were two kutim. De'avit iska bahadeh hadadeh. Okay, they did a deal together. Azu chaminayu, palik zuze below date dechavre. What did he do? He split the money, okay? In other words, he split the money, and then, let's say this, he invested the money, he took half the proceeds, and then what did he do? He reinvested his half of the money. So let's say there was 100 to begin with, okay? He started with 100, the 100 went up to 120, he took 60, left 60 aside for his friend, reinvested the other 60, and now it made 80. Okay? So comes the other friend and says, hey, I want 10 of that, right? Of the 20 you just made on your money, I want you to give me the 10. So what happens? But he did it. What happened? He split the money without telling his friend, and he took half, right, his half, and he invested. And then later, he gave the guy back his 60, when really, right now, there's 140 instead of 120. So what happens? Atul kamedur papa, amale, mainaf kamina, hachi amar av nachman, zuze keman de plige damu. In other words, money is money. It doesn't change. It doesn't, right? It's if you split it without your friend seeing, it's as if it was split. In other words, you give him 60, you give him 60, and that's it. He reinvested his 60. It's fine. He didn't have to do it in front of you. You didn't need to see. So basically, he gets to keep his profit. Now what happens? Okay, the story continues. Just lost the place. Kam idach, right? No, did I skip? Sorry. Lishana, okay, the next year. Zavin chamer bahadeh hadadeh. They sold wine together. Okay, they had a deal with wine and they sold the wine. Kam idach. So now the other guy who got gypped the last time, this time he said, okay, last time that guy didn't need to split it in front of me, I won't split it. And what did he do? He sold his part, for, right? He took his wine, and he sold it for more money now. And then he split the wine 50-50, and then he sold his wine for more money than the other guy got for his wine. Okay? So now what happens? Out to the Kameh to Rapapa, he goes for Rapapa, figuring Rapapa's going to paskin like him. Amar lein, man paliglach. Who told you to split this? Amale, kachazina de batar didi kaate. Hey, I see every time you're always going on that, right? It's like a referee. He's always ruling for the other team, right? You're always against me. In other words, he said, who told you to split it? You couldn't split it like that. You have to split your profits 50-50 with the other guy. Okay? So now, Amar Rav Papa, ki agavna vadai tzarich lo due. In this kind of a case, I clearly have to explain my answer, why I did this. Mi shakil tave v'shavik chasre, chamra kula. Did you take? Okay, now we're going to say. Right, how do we translate this? One second. Right. When it comes to coins, okay, did you take good ones and give him back deficient coins? No, coins are coins. 60 is 60. So if he took his 60 and you took your 60, you can't complain, oh, the 60 you took, those 60 that you reinvested were better than the 60 that I got. There's no difference when it comes to that. But when you split the wine, it could be that you took the better part of the wine and you gave him the worst part of the wine. So in other words, that was something you had to split in front of him. You had to decide from the beginning before you went and sold it. You had to say, if you're going to split the wine, either you should have sold it all and split the profits 50-50, or you should have split the wine together in front of him and you could have each tasted and made sure that your wine was good and done it with agreement, with consent. And that's why I didn't rule like you on the second case.
You can still see where the principle would be that they should not do it without the other's knowledge and should do one in front of the other. And that's you should even money. You know, what if some coins are better? What if there's a, you know,
right?
There's
you could.
A good argument.
You
for
could,
it.
However, reinvesting money, right? Money is always viewed as different. That's why also it's called a hava'ats, right?
But yes. In a partnership, you could see that there's a principle that both partners should know what's going on.
Right. What's interesting, by the way, in both cases today, in the two cases we just saw, there was the case of where someone judged based on one case what would be the situation in another case, right? And they were both wrong. They all both got it wrong. It's just interesting. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman. Zuze keman depligid, Gufa. Amar Rav Nachman, Zuze keman depligidam. Okay, now we're going to go into the statement of Rav Nachman, that Zuze, or as if they're already split. Okay, so Hani Mile, this only works, okay, maybe this helps you, Ruth, when it's Tave Vitave, or Tekule Vitekule. Either they were both good coins, or they were both poor coins. Avaltave v'tekule lo. But if you mix them, right, then it's not going to work. Rav Chama, hava mogir zuze b'pshita b'yoma. So he would rent out, he basically rented out money, okay, for a charge. He charged people a pshita, a coin, for renting out zuzim. Okay, I think there's a word, liyoma. Sorry, liyoma. Right, sorry. Bipshita liyoma. That's why I knew this wasn't right. He rented them out. You have to look in the Bach. He changes it to liyoma. He rented them out for a pshita a day. Okay, so you can rent my money, okay, which is basically like a loan, right? But he's renting it out for a pshita a day, for that amount of money a day. Kalu zuze derabchama. Wait, so this, what happens here? Kalu zuze, right? He lost all his money. 1 second. Ah, right. No, right. In other words, what happened down the road? He lost all his money because this was a rebate transaction. What was he basically doing? He was what? You're calling it renting, but renting money is basically a loan. So he, all his money got lost. In other words, you know, meaning God punished him for taking rebate. Who suffer? What did he think? My shna mi mara. He thought this is no different from me renting out my ma'ader, my ho. Below he, but it's not different. It's not the same. Why? Mara, when it comes to somebody's hoe, hadra bi'ina, there's two things about it. If I take your hoe, when I give it back exactly as is. Via dua pachte. And also, it goes down, it's going to go down in value, and it's known that there's depreciation. Okay, so what does this mean? Right, well, we'll talk about it in a second. Zuze, lo hadra bi'inayu, we don't return the exact money, right? When you give money, what do we say? Milvel hotza'anitna. You give money, we assume you're going to spend that money and give back different money. So it's not the same that you're returning. And generally, the money doesn't go down in value, right? Because we talked about maybe over a long period of time, but generally the money stays about the same. So now what's the relevance of this? If you say it goes back the way it is, then what does that mean? The achrayut is on the owner, as opposed to the money where the achrayut is on the borrower. Okay, or the renter, if we call him a renter in this case, but still the achrayut's on him. The achrayut's on him, that's a milveh, that's a halva'ah, it's going to be rebate. Whereas if you're renting, the achrayut's, that's how we started this year, right? If we look at it as a pikadon, then the achrayut's on the owner. If we look at it as a milveh, you rented them out money, but you didn't assume responsibility for the money, they didn't have to give it back to you. And also, what did we say the solution is here? That if you at least pay some sort of salary. So when it comes to the ma'adir, what happens? You rent out the ma'adir. What's the guy paying for, really, when he rents it from you? He's taking your item, he's using your item, and he pays you because there's going to be wear and tear on the item. Whereas money, there's no wear and tear. So in that case, you're getting some sort of salary for the wear and tear. You're getting money back for it. But here, you can't say the money's going to the wear and tear of the, right, that you're getting, it's really rebate. It can't be considered as anything else. Okay? Tov. Amar Rava. Shari le le'inish le'memra le'lechavre. Now here we're going to see some cases where you could sort of do some sort of interest taking. What do? You say to your friend, Helech dalet zuze, here's dalet zuz, I'm paying you dalet zuz, but ozfe le'plan yezuze, and you go lend money to someone else. I'll pay you the rebate, okay? But you go lend money to this guy. Lo asra Torah ele rebate haba mi lova le'malve. It's only forbidden if the lova pays the rebate, but if you pay for the lova, now obviously the mafreshim get into, it can't be that you're acting as a shaliach of the lova. It can't. So there's a machloket about whether it means, as long as the money's not coming from the lova, in other words, as long as who's paying out of pocket? It's this third guy and not the Lova. It's okay. And some people say, it can't, even if the Lova's not paying, but the Lova tells him to do it, that's also a problem. Okay? Even if it's not the Lova's money, it still might be a problem that way. There's a machloket about that. V'amar Rav, another case. Shari le lignish le meimar le lechavre, shakilach arba'a zuze, v'amar le leplone le ozfan zuze. He can tell his friend, take 4 zuzim and go tell someone else to lend me money. Okay? In other words, again, it's not going to be direct. The lova is going to pay the rebate, right? In the first case, the malva got the rebate. In this case, the malva is not getting the rebate, but the lova is paying the rebate, but he's not paying it to the malva. He's paying it to a third party. So that's also okay. My time, schar amira kashakil. He's paying him for convincing the guy to give him a loan. Okay? Ki hada Abba Mar bereid Rav Papa, like Abba Mar, who was the son of Rav Papa, have a shakil ogna de kira mikirai. He would take these cakes of wax, right? They would put the wax into these molds. He would take the molds of wax. Va'amar le la'avua osfinu zuze. Right, and he said,
he said to his father, lend them money.
Right. People gave him these loaves of wax, and then he said to his father, go lend these people money. Okay, so what do you see here? That even a father's son is okay. Okay? Amar le Rabbanan said, le Rav Papa, echa berei demar ribita? What, your son is eating ribit? You know, he's taking ribit? Amar lehu, kol ki hai ribita, necho lo asra Torah, ele ribit haba mi lova lamalva. He's just getting scharamira, he's not getting rebate, and therefore it's going to be okay. Okay, because he's just getting the reward for telling you he's getting paid, your son, Rav Papa's getting paid to convince me to lend them money. Now, the Mefarshim, they'll clearly say it has to be a case, obviously, where the son is not getting somech al shulchan aviv, where the son has his own separate money from his father. If the money's together and the son's being supported by the father, then obviously this doesn't work, because that's just a farce. But if the son has his own independent money, then it's okay. You obviously have to wonder a little bit how far you take this Samech HaShulchano, right? What if the father gives the son some money, not all his support? You know, I don't know where you draw the line there.